Did you know there are two kinds of hope? The first is simply wanting something to be the case. Personal example. When I was in college, or actually when I graduated college with my bachelor's degree in elementary education, I was told that you will have no problem finding a job. As a matter of fact, schools and districts will be knocking on your door and fighting over getting you into their classrooms. Because when I graduated in 2002, here's a personal story that it does not take place in the late 1900s, like so many of my stories do. When I graduated college in 2002, there was this anticipated surge of retirement. So boomers were reaching retirement age, and they were like, a whole bunch of them are going to retire all at the same time. Within 5 years, they're going to be all of these openings, and typically new male teachers do not go for early elementary positions. Like, guys apparently don't want to teach kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and I really wanted to teach first and second grade. That's where my hope lied in terms of what kind of position I would get. So I graduated college with this sort of like arrogance, kind of, and I peddled my resume, but I did it without too much concern. I put out about 40, 45 resumes that year, and I got zero responses, because turns out all these people who they were expecting to retire did not retire, because there was all this talk in 2002 coming after the 9/11 tragedy of like the economy kind of like, and people were just worried about like what's going to happen and can I retire and are things going to stabilize and all of that. So the next year I peddled about 55 resumes and made, I don't know how many phone calls. So between these 2 years, around 100 resumes. This is back before you could apply for everything online. You know, you had to actually buy nice paper and print it out and buy the big envelope so you didn't fold the nice paper and spend 55 cents on stamps to send the big envelope. Can you imagine? Yeah, because like standard stamps are what, 70 something cents now or whatever. And so anyway, that's like my mom used to be like, candy bars used to cost a nickel. And I was like, Mom. And I totally just did that. Anyway, so I peddled 100 resumes and I made countless phone calls. And I even just cold called, like showed up at schools and asked to meet with the principal so I could meet them, make a connection. Maybe if they meet me and they get to know me and they see my warm, glowing personality, they'll decide that they, you know, want to give me an interview or whatever. And after all of that, it's about 14, 15 months and all of that effort and just hoping for this job that I'd been working for in school for 5 years, I got one interview. One. And it was actually a group interview. There were 13 of us that were interviewing for like three positions with a panel of six or seven staff members from this one school. And I was lucky enough to get that job. Well, in the meantime, during those 14 months, I piled all of my hope on this thing that I wanted. I wanted this job. And it's not just like, oh, I really want it because it'll be fun. I really want it because I've studied for it. That was part of it. But I got married in the meantime. Graduated college, got married while Danny finished up her schooling. And I had this wife to take care of now, and I needed insurance. Our plan was graduate college, get a job, get insurance, live happily ever after. So I graduated college. I didn't get a job. We didn't have insurance. So we couldn't afford groceries every week. We were dependent on the kindness of others and churches providing food for free or super cheap through different ministry programs. We were dependent on our parents. I remember in that season, I got a used alternator for my 1992 GMC Jimmy for my birthday that I replaced myself. And I am the least mechanically inclined person I have ever known. It took me, and it was January, so it was like 19 degrees outside. It took me 2.5 hours to replace. And this is back when alternators were on the top and front of the engine, way up here. I didn't even have to bend over. And it took me forever to get it done. But that was like, happy birthday. Here's a used alternator because our parents didn't have money either. And so all of that pressure of providing for my wife and keeping food on the table and all of that, like, it was all contingent on circumstances. And those circumstances were fleeting. I mean, you get ghosted 100 times and you kind of like, it's easy for hope to just die in that. And so like up and down and up and down, my emotions were like a roller coaster in that season. And I did pray, but I was praying for the circumstances to change. And that's a different kind of hope than hope that the Bible tells us about. Have you ever felt like I felt in that season? Have you ever been in a season, or are you in a season right now where you just desperately want something to happen? You're waiting for a circumstance or an outcome because you know other things in your life. Maybe you believe that everything else in your life will just be better if this thing happens, if this comes to be. Maybe you're like me and it's getting a particular job or making a certain income. It could be that the thing that you're hoping for or wanting to be the case is making new friends or having a particular kind of friend. Like, my life would be so much better. I would be so much happier if I just had this kind of friend. Maybe it's finding love, because let's be honest, for all the single people in the room, our culture does not celebrate singleness at all. The expectation is fall in love, get married, have a family, and then you're happy. And that's not a requirement for happiness. And so sometimes living in this culture as a single person is really hard, and we get pulled into this. I've been single in a long time, but the general we, can get pulled into this. I have to be in a romantic relationship that has forever potential if my life is to be all that it's supposed to be. And so you hope for that. Maybe it's advancing in school or work, making the team, earning the grade, getting that promotion. It could be something perhaps more practical, like wanting your vehicle to stop breaking down or your home repair projects to stop piling up or grocery or gas prices to just stabilize for a minute, or maybe for your utility bill to stop going up every year. Like, maybe the thought is if these circumstances change, then everything would be different, then everything would be okay. Could be that your spouse or parent or friend is treating you badly. Maybe you're in some kind of unhealthy or toxic relationship and you just want them to change, and that's what you're hoping for. Maybe you're the one who's treating other people badly and you want yourself to change, but no matter how hard you try, no matter how long you wait, that change just isn't happening. And you just keep hoping that it's going to someday. Could be that you want to reconnect with a child or a parent or a sibling that lives far away, or maybe my story in my life is just an hour away, but we like never talk to each other and just want it to be different. Is your hope in that situation just changing if you wait long enough or try hard enough? Sometimes the thing we place this kind of hope in is our relationship with the Lord. We want it to be different. We think once it's different, everything is going to be different. And we're just waiting for God to do some sort of miraculous intervention without any investment from us or understanding of how that actually works. God, just flip the switch. I'm ready. And you're just hoping for that to happen. So that all raises a question. Whether you relate to any of those things or it's something else for you, it raises a question. What happens when you don't get the job? When you don't make the friend? When you don't find love or get the promotion or make the team? What happens when the financial hits just keep coming and that family member doesn't change and that relationship stays the same and your relationship with God just kind of like peters out? Well, the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. Given enough disappointments, unfulfilled hope eventually dies. That is, when hope is simply wanting a thing to be the case, expecting that circumstances will somehow change on their own if you just wait long enough or try hard enough. Well, I have good news. There are two kinds of hope, and that is just one. God tells us about the other, more trustworthy, more sustainable kind of hope, and that hope has a name. So if you have your Bible or your Bible app, please turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Otherwise, the majority of our scripture will be on the screen today. We are wrapping up our Christmas series with the story of Simeon today. Now, Simeon is, in my opinion, one of the most important people in the story of the birth of Jesus, and simultaneously, one of the people who is the least talked about. I mean, you may even be going, who's Simeon? Like, I've never heard. I've heard the shepherds. I've heard of the magi. I've heard of the innkeeper, who actually isn't even in the Bible. But who's this Simeon guy? Well, people don't pay attention to Simeon because he doesn't come in the story until several days after Jesus is born. But he brings a message that is super important. And that's what we're going to look at today. At this point in the Christmas story, we're going to pick up at verse 25 in Luke chapter 2. At this point in the Christmas story, Jesus has been born, he's been named, and he's been circumcised. So he's gone through this, like the typical rituals for brand new babies in that culture and in that time. Mary and Joseph take him to the temple in Jerusalem to dedicate him to the Lord, which is just a part of their custom, kind of like we dedicate babies to the Lord in our custom now. Like there's infant baptisms and infant dedications, and it's kind of similar to this practice here. So the main passage that we're in today is Luke 2, 25 to 32. It starts like this. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms, praising God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised." So just imagine this. Imagine you're Mary and you're Joseph, and Mary's carrying baby Jesus, and they get to the temple, and then this guy walks up and he's like, "Oh, hey, let me see the baby." Having a new baby in our family, like this totally happens, you know? Allie and Elijah wear Holland so that it won't happen as often as people want it to. "Let me see the, oh, wow, what a beautiful baby. Lord, let me die." Like, what a weird moment, right? But then what comes next makes it a whole lot not like less weird. "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people." He is. Salvation is also a person. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Jesus didn't just come for Jews. He didn't just come for Israel. He came for everyone. And that's what Simeon proclaims. The Magi showed up as much as 2 years after Jesus was born. According to the time that the star appeared in the sky when they met with Herod before they went to worship him, they figured out that he had been born probably about 2 years prior. So by the time they got to Jesus to worship him and give him the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, he might have been a toddler. So Simeon proclaims this sometime after the eighth day of Jesus. You know, Jesus was 8 days old and he was circumcised and named according to their custom. And then he was taken to the temple. So he was a couple of weeks old, maybe a month old. Definitely not 2 years old at this point. So this is the first proclamation from a person that Jesus had come for everyone. Two noteworthy things about Simeon that we get from this passage. Simeon is faithful in his relationship to the Lord. He's described the same way that Zechariah and Elizabeth are described in Luke chapter 1, verse 6. Luke just wraps it all up in the word devout. The word devout here means being righteous in God's sight, observing the Lord's commands blamelessly, which is how he describes Elizabeth and Zechariah in Luke chapter 1. This is today, Simeon is today, what we may describe as a fully devoted follower. By including this, Luke, the author of this story, wants to make sure that we understand that Simeon is a fully committed follower of the Lord, like a priest would be, though he's not a priest. He's just a normal, ordinary, everyday, faithful guy. Second thing to know about Simeon is that he is filled with the Holy Spirit. This is before the cross and the resurrection. This is before Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit was sent to be inside of anybody who gives their life to Jesus. largely in the Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit was upon someone, it was to complete some sort of task or mission for the Lord that required his divine power. And prophecy is very much like that. So the fact that Simeon was living with the Holy Spirit is very noteworthy. It's how he's able to sing this song of praise and prophecy. And the Holy Spirit coming on Simeon makes the Holy Spirit, the Lord himself, the source of Simeon's hope. The very Spirit of God is telling Simeon, Israel will be rescued through this baby. The difference between Israel's hope for thousands of years and the hope that we have had access to for thousands of years is this right here, this thing that is transpiring in this scene with Simeon. Israel kept falling into this dictionary definition of hope, the first kind of hope that I highlighted at the top of the message, wanting something to be the case, waiting, anticipating that something would change, and they were placing their hope in the end result, in the change of the circumstances, in whatever was going to be different when the Messiah came. Simeon, through the Holy Spirit, though, was trusting the Lord as his hope. He got to live out in the presence of Jesus what Jeremiah prophesied in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7, where he says this, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence." Catch that? Blessed are those who have made the Lord their hope. Simeon is saying, hope is not a thing you're waiting on. Hope is a person, and that person is Jesus. Colossians 1, 15 to 17, so this is from the other side of the risen Christ. Paul writes this, "Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation, for through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things that we can see and the things that we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together." The prophet Isaiah from the Old Testament, talking about the coming of the Lord's Messiah, said this in chapter 42, verses 1 to 4. "Look at my servant whom I strengthen." This is Jesus. "He is my chosen one who pleases me. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or raise his voice in public. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. He will bring justice to all who have been wronged. He will not falter or lose heart until justice prevails throughout the earth. Even distant lands beyond the sea will wait for his instruction." This is Isaiah saying that when the Lord's Messiah comes, he will come for everyone. That means Jesus has authority over everything you hope for. Jesus has authority over everything in the physical realm, in the spiritual realm. He has authority over everything that you hope for. 1 Peter 1:3 says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Jesus gives you new life and gives you a new life filled with a new hope, and one day he will make all things whole. Shalom. Irene, like we talked about last week. He gives you new life with a new living hope. And one day he will make all things whole. When you give your life to Jesus, genuinely saying, "Jesus, come into my life and save me from the brokenness inside of and around me." And you say, "I want to make you the leader of my life. He actually gives you new life. And that new life includes a living hope. A hope that is not contingent on circumstances, but is alive with Christ, who is alive in you. When you know this, like, and I mean like know it, like deep inside of you, like it has become the foundation that you stand on. It doesn't matter what circumstances come your way, because the wonderful counselor, the everlasting Father, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, will not be shaken by your bills or by your unmet expectations or by your failed aspirations or struggling relationships or whatever the state of your spirituality is. When He is your hope, you learn that He is working for your good, whatever comes your way. He is still Lord and Savior. He will still make all things right in His way, in His time, according to His will. When you realize that, you will not be shaken by the way things do or do not turn out. Your hope doesn't rise or fall on the things coming to be that you are hoping will come to be. If they do or if they don't, you're not tossed back and forth like the waves of the sea or the grass in the field. Your circumstances beyond your control, no longer dictate your dependency on hope, because your dependency is on the One who is in control of everything. Like, let me just say that again. When you are dependent on circumstances beyond your control, that has an impact on your life, and you might rise and fall in your peace and in your sense of stability and in your hope and in your positivity, and even sometimes, depending on how serious it is, in your faith, because life circumstances shake people's faith. But when you are dependent on the One who is in control of all things, who rules over all things, it doesn't matter what happens or what doesn't happen, because you know He's got it. And so you don't have to depend on the way it turns out. So here's the hard question to think about today. In what ways are you hoping for something instead of hoping in someone? And I don't just mean any someone. In what ways are you hoping for something instead of hoping in Jesus? Little disclaimer, if this whole idea of hope or two kinds of hope is like brand new, if you've never heard it described this way, for me, hope has always been this sort of like thing that's out there that I haven't really known how to describe, right? I just know what it feels like. I could identify it, but I can't define it, kind of thing. If that's you, then maybe all of this is really new and it's just a lot to process and it's going to take a minute. That's okay. If you've heard this before, this is all a reminder that our hope is a person and that person is Jesus. That's okay too. It's good. It's great, actually. There's probably still something. Wherever you're at in your understanding of hope and how you live with hope, where you place your hope, where your hope comes from, there's probably still something, because we're all works in progress. Something at work or something at home or school or church that you want to be a particular way. And you're holding out that someday, somehow, it will be the way you want it to be. And please hear me, when I say what you want, that's not a negative thing. There are certain things about my work and my home and my church and my life that I want to be a certain way. And they're all very positive, right? But if my hope is in just those things happening someday, and my hope is not in Jesus, who is the leader of all of those things and is over and in and through all of those things, then I am on that up and down, undependable, unreliable track of hope. So here's the challenge. The hard question is, what's one thing? The challenge is you may have a list of things in your mind. Pick one. Maybe you don't have anything in your mind right now that where your hope is in an outcome or a circumstance or something that you want to be different. You can't think of anything at the moment. Do not let this go until you have the thing. Take it to the Lord, have a conversation with him until he shows you this is it. Because I really believe that for all of us, right? Me too. There's something that we've not yet laid at the feet of Jesus when it comes to our hope. When you do, when you lay it at the feet of Jesus, it sounds like this. I trust you with this. Whatever and whenever and however you choose to move, Lord Jesus, I believe that what you're up to is what's best. So this is not hypothetical. Whatever your relationship with Jesus looks like, from no relationship at all to I've been following him faithfully the best way I know how for years, reflect on it and do the hard work of surrendering the thing that the Lord surfaces for you to Jesus, your living hope. And I'll say this, Jesus is a gentleman. He's not gonna snatch this thing away from you. He's gonna wait for you, like if you're holding it in your fist like this, he's gonna wait for you to just loosen your grip and then he will take it from you because he's already taken it upon himself. And then he will grab your hand and he will lead you faithfully into the way of that living hope. That will be much more powerful than anything the world has to offer or anything we can conjure up on ourselves or by ourselves. There are two kinds of hope. One that is dependent on circumstances that may be beyond my control, the outcome of which dictate the ups and downs of my life. And then there's the living hope that is Jesus Christ, the creator and sustainer. Everything was made through him. He is over and in and through all things. He has the power and authority over everything. So I can hope in him or I can hope in this. Given the choice between the two, I choose Jesus. I choose living hope. And I invite you to join me in that choice. Imagine, just imagine what our church, our neighborhoods, our city could look like if more people knew the overwhelming, surpassing love of Jesus, our hope. What would happen to stress and anxiety and addiction and loneliness and depression if even half of the people around us knew that Jesus is their hope? How many relationships could be restored? How many homes could be healthy? How many marriages could be saved? How many lives could be transformed? How many chains could be broken? It's not a pipe dream. This isn't like a, wow, wouldn't the world be great if? No, like the world would be great if, and it's possible. And I know it's possible because I have learned how to stop hoping in circumstances and start hoping in Jesus, my living hope. We had our son, perfect textbook pregnancy. Like what to expect while you're expecting, literally page by page, pregnancy followed it. Delivery was hard, but almost textbook. We wanted to have a child 2 years later. We wanted our kids to be about 2 years apart. 4 years later, three miscarriages, many, many dashed hopes, and then our daughter was born. Through that hard season, that 4 years, we learned to move from putting our trust in wanting an outcome and finding our hope in Jesus. The Lord taught us how to shift from our hope being, we just want to have another baby, to our hope being, Jesus, you've got this, And whatever you want, however, whenever you move, that is the best way. And if we have one kid, then so be it. Because our hope is in you, not in the outcome. And it was pretty quickly after we got there that we had our daughter. And to make sure we never forgot, we named her Mackenzie Hope Haldane. I'm just an ordinary, everyday, fully devoted follower, like Simeon. And so are you. Or at least you have the potential to be. So you can find this hope. Because if Simeon can find this hope and wait for it and know that he will not die until he meets the Lord's Messiah, and if I can find this hope just as a normal, average, everyday guy, then you can find this hope. And then we can share it with others and see the people in our lives and in our community transformed by the living hope, Jesus Christ. Hope is a person, and that person is Jesus. So put your trust in him and find a hope that will never disappoint, because you know whatever he's up to is the best thing.